Good morning, friends. I'm blessed to be with you today and share this message on the coming of Jesus. And I think that Dr. Luke, has given us good insight to the time that God sent His Son to be the gift of salvation to all mankind, to every nation, and to all people. And that is especially important to us today. I would like to pray again and ask God's blessings upon His Word. Father God, we thank You that we can gather in this house today and dedicate and consecrate this time to You, to hear Your Word and to be reminded again of the very special time that You sent Jesus into this world to be our Savior. He is precious to us, and we love and worship Him above all others. And I pray by Your Spirit that Your Word will fall upon fertile soil and bless our lives for Your glory. Bless the families that are represented here today, and especially bless this church family, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I remember as a boy that every time Christmas would come, especially as Christmas Eve would arrive, I would be very excited. My family would often set up a tree, a Christmas tree like this, and my mother would wrap the presents before Christmas Day, and when she would leave the house, I would often pick up the packages and shake them and listen and see if I could tell what she had purchased for me at the store. But usually it was always a surprise. It was a surprising time. And I think God has chosen that we would celebrate Christmas, even though we do not know for certain if Jesus was born, in fact, on December 25th. I think that He's chosen this time because it's the darkest and the coldest time for us here in North America and in the northern part of the hemisphere to remind us that the illumination and the light and the glory of God sending His Son into the world is to remind us that it brings light to our lives and life. So we can cherish, we can celebrate, we can enjoy the illumination of this time of Jesus' arrival. The first Christmas was perfectly timed by God. And just like I did as a boy, I would ask my mom, "Is it time yet? Is it time to open the gift? Is it time to open the present?" I think that we, even as adults, we can have that youngness of heart that says, "God, what is the time for Christmas? Is it time for us to experience the glory of Your goodness and Your gift of Jesus Christ?" The Bible tells us in Galatians 4:4 that when the right time came, God sent His Son. He sent His Son to us. Would you please do something for me right now? Would you tell your neighbor that God sent His Son for you? Tell somebody. God sent His Son for you. The reason I ask you to do that little exercise is if you're like me, I think most people, they understand and believe that God sent His Son for all people. But sometimes it's difficult to understand or to accept that He sent His Son for me. To personalize, to personally accept the gift of God's Son. For you, right now, in this moment, by His Spirit, His promise to you, His gift, is that He loves you so much that He sent Jesus for you. That is very special. The Bible tells us again in Luke 2, as we read together a moment ago, that there was an occasion. If you read the context of Luke 2, there was a census being taken by the Roman Empire. And like this seasonal experience that we have now, it's cold, the days are very short, the light is limited. Spiritually, in this moment, it was very dark. The Roman Empire was a tyrant. They were oppressors of many nations of the known world. And they had great control over peoples. And they used sometimes brute force to force the government or the empire's way. And one of the ways that they controlled people is they called a census. So as a result, as a fulfillment of prophecy, Joseph was compelled to take Mary from Nazareth in the north down to Bethlehem in Judea, which is approximately about 70 miles or around 100 kilometers. But it's very difficult terrain. The geography is rocky and barren. In fact, eastern Washington, or what we call the Columbia Basin, in many respects resembles this area. My mother has lived most of the past 9 years in Israel, and I've been there many times. And if you go to Bethlehem in Judea on that eastern slope of what we call the Judean wilderness, it's a very rocky, windswept, very little vegetation. It's a very difficult area to travel, especially for a woman who is pregnant, riding probably upon a donkey of some kind. That great distance, I can imagine Joseph was leading the donkey and taking her down to Bethlehem, which would fulfill the prophet's words that the Savior would be born in the city of David in Bethlehem at this time. So they find themselves here for this census. They are in a very difficult time of the year to experience this birth, very difficult geography. And the Bible tells us that there were other people in this area, such as the shepherds. And when the shepherds were around their fire in the nighttime with the flock, suddenly an angel steps on the scene. Now, can you imagine if you are in an office setting with your coworkers, a laboratory, a schoolroom, your kitchen, someplace with other people, and suddenly you have an angel sent by God who steps on the scene to give you a message. Now that would be very, very exciting. It could be amazing. It could be something that causes you to be speechless. And this is the case with the shepherds. They were experiencing this unusual, unexpected episode orchestrated by God, choreographed by God Himself, and the angels bring a message. And they want the shepherds to know, as well as they want all people to know, that this is the time that God has sent His Son. And so suddenly the angel was joined, it says in verse 13, by a vast host of other angels, armies of heaven. So it's not just one now, but imagine the entire sky filled with the army of God, with the angels of God, announcing the coming of Jesus. And they are saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to whom those God is pleased. So the angel is bearing God's message. And simply what he's saying is, what time is it? What time is Christmas? We are an interesting people today. We are governed by time. We have Blackberries and iPods and iPhones and cell phones and text messages and emails. We have all kinds of various data processing methods to tell time. Chronological time, chronos. But this was also in the Greek a kairos time. Kairos is not just chronological movement of seconds, nanoseconds or minutes or time as we understand it, but it is the merging of time and destiny. It is an opportunity to understand the gift of God. Now, what does the angel say to us is very significant, and I want to share four closing thoughts about what time it is, a kairos moment, when Jesus arrives. Number one, the angel says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Like that moment, today can be very fearful. You do not have to watch CNN very long to get depressed. There's a lot of depressing news today. You read the newspaper, it's depressing. You look at magazine headlines, it can be depressing. Just like that moment, the Roman Empire hovering like a bird of prey over the known world. People could think that they were in control. But we're reminded by this angel's message, do not be afraid, that God is in control. God is the Savior. God is the Master of the universe. God is the one who orchestrates the affairs of men. And this angel reminds us with this simple message, do not be afraid, that this is the time, the coming of Jesus, the time of Christmas, that we can be people who are relaxed and calm and assured by the presence of God. Five times in the New Testament, you can find a case where Jesus stepped into a crisis, some type of a crisis, where people needed the presence of God or the miracle of God, and each time he said, be not afraid. You see, fear is the greatest barrier to knowing God. Fear is also the greatest barrier to fulfilling God's purpose for your life. Sometimes fear is self-imposed. It becomes a prison that keeps you from living the life that God has destined for you and intends for you. So whatever you're afraid of, Christmas is the time to let go, to release your fears. Did you know that the Bible contains 365 fear nots in English? 365. If I'm correct, that's one fear not for every single day of the year. God says to you and I, be not afraid. It's time to stop worrying, and it's time to start worshiping. It's time to release those tensions and stresses and nerve-wracking worries that keep us from fulfilling God's purpose for us this Christmas. The second thing that this heavenly messenger brought to us, it's a time to renew your faith. It's not only a time to release the fears, but it's a time to bring in and renew our faith. The angel says, I bring you good news with great joy, and it is for everyone, in verse 10. So the good news of Jesus keeps getting better and better as the bad news of the world keeps getting more worse. It's darker and darker around the world. You know, growing up, many times I would hear people say, well, perhaps this is the time when God will bring a conclusion to all of the episodes of the nations and Jesus will return. And people get kind of excited and they wonder, is this really the moment? But the Bible is very clear that one of the indicators that we can all rest upon is that it will not just be little pockets of crisis and calamity and difficulty, but the whole world will all share in these calamities. So as the whole world becomes more and more tied together and connected with all of the bad news, the good news of Jesus, in fact, it's great news, it's marvelous news. Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to us. He is the best news that God has ever sent. And as everything around the world becomes darker and darker, the good news continues to illuminate the darkness and drive it away, and God's people have every reason to celebrate and renew their faith. That God wants each of us to personally, as we sang a moment ago, marvelous worship songs, that this is the time to trust God. This is the time that people need the Lord. This is the season and the Advent when we can have hope, great hope, in our hearts. hearts, and we can renew our faith, and we can trust God, and we can rise above all the calamities and all the difficulties that are shaking our world. Why? Because God is faithful. God is loving. God is a promise keeper, and we can trust Him. And this is where God wants us to know that He has long-range plans for our life, that He wants each of us to spend eternity with Him, and that Christmas is a time to come back to Christ, come back to God, and renew our faith. The third message that I've identified of the angel, it's time to receive forgiveness. Notice in verse 11, the angel says, "Today, a Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord." We not only need Christ, or in Greek, Christos, or in Hebrew, we would say Messiah. We need the Yeshua HaMashiach. We need the Messiah. We need the Christ. We need the Savior of the world. And all of those titles that we give Jesus represent that it's time for us to receive forgiveness. That God loves to forgive us. A Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord. If our greatest need was education, God would have sent a teacher. If our greatest need was health, He would have sent a doctor. If our greatest need was a financial need, He would have sent an economist. But our greatest need is forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. It doesn't matter what wrong we think we've done, Jesus paid for it on the cross. From the cradle to the cross to a crown that Jesus wears as King, we can have confidence that when we ask Him to forgive us, He paid the price, and He will. And we simply need to accept His forgiveness this Christmas. And last of all, Christmas is a time to rebuild relationships. I've noticed that we are living in a society, in a culture here in America, that is more and more becoming full of accusation, full of slander, full of verbal assault. And people often are very angry just under the surface. And anything will trigger them. And they, who would have guessed that we would have a week ago a man walk into a coffee shop here in our own state and kill four police officers, or a United States Army major walk onto his own base and open fire and kill so many people and wound so many others. And this is a very dark time. And I don't dismiss that. I don't disagree with that. But I'm suggesting to us today that Christmas, all the celebration of the light, the tree which represents the cross of Christ, the illuminating lights that represent the glory of God in the highest, that all of these things, the red ribbon representing the crimson flow of Christ's blood on the cross, from the cradle to the crown, or to the cross to the crown, represents the apex, the epitome of the glory of God in our lives, the Spirit of the living Christ, as Paul says in Romans 8:11, lives in us, quickens our mortal bodies, that rise above all of these dark things, and we rebuild relationships, we renew our faith, we release our fears, we do these things because of the love of God that abounds in us, that is greater than all of these dark things, that is more majestic than all of these horrific things around us, that we focus on the good and the great and the godly that God has given us this Christmas. And it's time to rebuild relationships where we do not become contaminated or corrupted by these things that we hear and see around us every day. They're negative, they're dark, they're gloomy, but we rather allow the illuminating light and life of Jesus to help us to rebuild, to receive, to restore all the good things that God has sent to us. Peace on earth and and goodwill to all people. Verse 14 says, so once you've released your fears, once you have taken that step of renewing your faith and receive forgiveness, it's time to rebuild relationships. That's what Christmas says to us. God calls us to forgive everyone else as He has forgiven us. To offer forgiveness this Christmas time and to receive forgiveness in relationship, it's time to make peace. It's the greatest gift that we can give. And I notice in our service worship schedule today that we will celebrate communion. This is the cup of forgiveness. This is the cup of healing, the bread of healing. This is the moment that God has called us this Christmas to calculate the time and to understand what His clock says about this season. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for sending Jesus. Thank You for changing our lives. Thank You for giving us a message of hope that has the power and is changing the whole world. For Your glory I pray in Christ's name. Everyone join me in saying, Amen.